Let's pray together. Father, it's great to be able to be together on this Resurrection Sunday to celebrate Jesus and the victory that he accomplished on the cross and how that was proven by the resurrection. And we are grateful for a living Savior who forever lives to intercede for us, who is at the right hand of God, who is ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise your name, and we look forward to what you will teach us this morning. Minister to our hearts by your Spirit using your word, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the rain came through last night, but we still were able to have our sunrise service this morning, and what a great time out by the tomb to sort of follow up from our Good Friday darkening service to rehearse together the greatness of the resurrection. The resurrection is really a significant event. In fact, to say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is significant, I think, is actually a gross understatement because of its infinite importance in the purpose of God. Everything that we believe and hold to and hope for is inextricably tied to the reality that Jesus conquered death and rose from the grave. His resurrection is so essential, in fact, that there would be no salvation without it. We would be all doomed to an eternity of hell, in hell, if the resurrection were not true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central issue in Christianity. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it means that he would have been a fraud. It would have meant that we are believing a lie. Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, it would have meant that our future is hopeless because we're still in our sins. But Jesus has risen, as he said. No greater proof exists for the divine nature of Jesus than the fact that he rose from the dead. Jesus' resurrection is the single greatest event in all of human history and is the declaration to all the world that he is God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, speaking that of Jesus, who was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? How was he declared to be the Son of God in power? By his resurrection from the dead. Jesus' resurrection is the basis of our spiritual confidence that he is God, that salvation is real, and that Scripture is true, and that our future is certain. This morning, what I would like to do in our brief time together is consider four practical implications of Jesus' resurrection and the spiritual confidence that it gives to you and me. What does Jesus' resurrection do for us? First, Jesus' resurrection gives us confidence of a standing before God that is righteous. It gives us confidence of a standing before God that is righteous. Jesus' resurrection is proof that his sacrificial death on the cross accomplished its intended purpose. The resurrection authenticates that our sins, in fact, were punished on the cross, and that God's wrath, in fact, was satisfied in the death of his own Son for our sins. In other words, because of the resurrection, you and I can be assured that the Father accepted the sacrifice of the Son. We can be confident that Jesus' death paid the full debt of our sin and satisfied God's holy wrath and justice. You see, it is the resurrection that vindicates the cross. If Jesus did not rise from the grave, then he would have been just an ordinary man. An ordinary man like you and me. And if Jesus were just an ordinary man, then it would have been impossible for his death to satisfy God's justice. Well, how would this have affected us? How would that have impacted us? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:17, "And if Christ has not been raised," get this, "your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." What that means is that you would still be unacceptable to a holy God. It would mean that his wrath was not satisfied. It would mean that you would then have to pay for your sins yourself for all eternity in hell. Our righteous standing before God is dependent on the fact that Jesus not only paid our sin debt, but that he overcame the curse of sin, which is death. And Jesus did this when he rose from the grave. Romans 4, verse 25 says that Jesus was delivered up. That is, that he was put to death on the cross because of our trespasses. That means he was put on the cross on account of our sins against God. But notice, and he was raised for the sake of our justification. You see, the basis of a sinner's righteous standing before a holy God is Jesus' death and his resurrection. If you are a Christian, you can be absolutely confident that your sins have been dealt with and that you have been declared righteous by God. The very moment that you believed and you were saved, you were given a new spiritual standing before God. Jesus' resurrection guarantees this. Your standing before God as someone who is righteous is settled. There is nothing that you can do to improve on that. You cannot enhance this standing. And there is nothing that you can do to diminish it. There is nothing you can do to tarnish this standing. See, you have not only been declared by God to be not guilty, but he declared you to be completely righteous. How can you be sure of that? How can you and I be confident that our standing before God is settled? How can we be sure that we are somehow not righteous and that we need to improve on this? How can we be sure that we are holy and righteous before God? It is because of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection gives us confidence of a spiritual standing before God that is righteous. But there is a second thing that we can be confident about because of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection gives us confidence of a life that is victorious. It gives us confidence of a life that is victorious. You see, his resurrection not only gives confidence of a standing that is righteous, it gives confidence of a life in Christ that is victorious. You see, because Jesus triumphed over sin and death, it means that he now lives to empower you and me to live faithfully for him. We serve a risen Savior who gives us the capacity to overcome temptation and to live obediently for God. You see, when you were saved, your identity became bound inseparably to Jesus Christ. What that means is that his death on the cross became your death. And his resurrection from the grave became your resurrection. In other words, just as Jesus was raised from the dead, you too were raised with him to walk in a life that is new. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 that we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. Why? In order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. What Paul is saying in that verse is that when Jesus died, God counted his death as if it were my death. And when Jesus rose, God counted his resurrection as if it were my resurrection. So because of the resurrection, your life is now lived in the realm of what Paul identifies as newness of life. Being raised to walk in newness of life means that in Christ you live with a different kind of life, a life that is different than the life that you lived before. You see, before you were saved, you were in darkness. But now you are in light. Before you were saved, you were dead in sin, but now you're alive in Christ. Before you were saved, you were in bondage, but now you're free. This is your new spiritual reality. You see, not only did the old you die with Christ, but a new you was raised with him to walk in this new kind of life. Like we saw a few weeks ago, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, salvation, folks, is not just God adding something new to what you were. Salvation is God transforming you into someone who is totally new. You are a new creation in Christ with a new spirit and a new heart. This is why when you became a Christian, your interests and your desires and your passions all changed. What you used to want, you now hate. And what you used to hate, you now love. Why? Because you aren't who you used to be. In Christ, you have been raised to walk in newness of life. Old things have passed away. New things have come. In Christ, the Bible says that you are an overcomer. You're spiritually victorious because the old you has died with Christ, and a new you has been raised with Christ. So Jesus' resurrection gives us confidence of a standing before God that is righteous. It gives us confidence of a new life with God that is victorious. But there's a third confidence that Jesus' resurrection gives. It gives us confidence of a salvation that is secure. It gives us confidence of a salvation that is secure. Did you realize that every person who's ever been saved is actually living proof that Jesus has risen? His resurrection assures us that he did all that was needed to do in order to secure our salvation. Through Jesus' resurrection, we know that God's enemies have been conquered. We know that sin has been condemned. Jesus' resurrection is proof that Satan was defeated and that death was destroyed. Because of the resurrection, we have confidence that eternal life with God is now an ironclad reality. In John 11:25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What is he saying? Because of who Jesus is as the resurrection and the life, the believer who dies physically will never die spiritually, which guarantees that he will live eternally. That's what Jesus is saying. In other words, eternal life through Jesus overcomes spiritual death for all who believe. In John 5:24, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Those who come to saving faith in Jesus Christ have, right now, at this moment, present tense, eternal life. Eternal life is not something that we wait to get in the future. It is what we possess right now. We have eternal life. You see, our salvation is secure because of Jesus' resurrection. Because He lives, we live, and are continually kept by Him. We are assured that we will not be condemned because of Jesus' death. And we are assured that we are kept secure because of His resurrection. Paul asks the question in Romans 8, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. You see, we don't believe in a dead and lifeless Savior. We believe in a resurrected, living Savior. Amen? Because Jesus is risen, we can be confident that He is, right this moment, at the right hand of the Father, continually interceding for us, so that no charge, no sin is ever charged against us. We have a risen Lord who, out of His eternal love for us, intercedes on our behalf. What could possibly separate us from that? What could separate us from that? Paul asks it this way in verse 35. He says, whoso shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he lists a whole bunch of things. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And then he says in verse 37, no. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have confidence in a salvation that is absolutely secure. Why? Because we have a risen Savior who continues to intercede for us at the right hand of God. And we know that nothing can possibly separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. So Jesus' resurrection gives us confidence of a standing before God that is righteous. A life in God that is eternal. A salvation from God that is secure. And then finally, Jesus' resurrection gives us confidence of an inheritance that is imperishable. Of an inheritance that is imperishable. Listen, our hope in Jesus Christ, folks, is not wishful thinking. The expectation for what awaits us in the future as believers is a sure and settled living hope. And it is a hope that is guaranteed because Jesus has been raised from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Peter is saying that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we've been given a living hope concerning eternity. We don't hope in wishful thinking terms that someday we're going to be in heaven and get our inheritance. No, it is a certain expectation. What is this hope that is ours? It is that we will one day receive the inheritance that is already ours and that is now waiting for us in heaven. This is an inheritance that Peter says is imperishable and undefiled and unfading. Well, what guarantees this hope? Peter says it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the guarantee, folks. When we were born again, we were guaranteed this inheritance through Jesus resurrection. Listen to Romans 8:11. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You know what that's saying? It's talking about your future. It's certain because of the resurrection. It's guaranteed. Your body is going to be changed to an imperishable, undefiled, unfading body that's glorified just like Jesus' body. Because Jesus was raised in a glorified body, we have the assurance that one day we too will experience the complete and total transformation of our lives to be like Jesus Christ. And we'll be with him, folks, forever. See, Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection. His triumph over the grave 2,000 years ago is God's pledge to us that we too, just like him, one day will be raised. You see, your salvation didn't just take care of your past and your present. It guarantees you a future. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. You see, folks, one day there will be a resurrection. And at this resurrection, God will glorify our bodies to be like Jesus' glorified body, which is imperishable and undefiled and unfading. But did you know that in the future, believers as well as unbelievers will be raised? For all who are in Christ, that future resurrection will be glorious. It will be a glorious resurrection of life. However, for those who are without Christ, for those who are unbelieving, that resurrection will be a resurrection of judgment. Jesus said in John 5, an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good, meaning those whose lives have been transformed by his grace, they will come out to the resurrection of life. And to those who have done evil, those whose lives have not been transformed by his grace, they will come out to the resurrection of judgment. There will be a resurrection for all. You see, when our Lord came into the world the first time, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he was mocked. He was scorned. He was hated. The Bible says that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was humiliated by those who should have actually honored him. He was rejected rather than received. The people ridiculed, abused, beat and battered him. They spit on him. They put him on display naked. They smashed a crown of thorns into his head. They drove nails into his hands and his feet. And they executed him as a criminal on a cross. But because the Savior rose from the dead, one day he will come back as the judge of all who reject him. At the resurrection of judgment, unbelievers will be raised in a body that is suited for the unquenchable fire and torment of eternal hell. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that there will be a future resurrection for all. The just will be raised to life. The unjust will be raised to judgment. About 20 years after Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Paul stood up and addressed a group of unbelieving philosophers in Athens, Greece. And here's what he said. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. What is the guarantee that there will be a future resurrection to judgment? It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The question is this morning, which resurrection will you participate in? That is the question, isn't it? If you're a believer, then you will experience a resurrection of life. Jesus' resurrection guarantees you a standing before God that is righteous, a life with God that is eternal, a salvation with God that is secure, and an inheritance from God that is imperishable. But if you have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and received the salvation that He went to the cross to secure and that He now offers to you, then Jesus' resurrection guarantees that you too one day will be resurrected. But you will be resurrected to stand before Him as your judge. That can change for you this morning. The good news is that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died so that sinners like you and me could be forgiven. But 3 days later, after He had been taken down from the cross and His body washed and wrapped and stuck into a grave, He rose from the dead. And today, through His Word, He is urging you to repent of your sin and to believe on Him. Will you? Romans 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Father, we pray this morning for those who don't know Jesus, that they would spiritually be drawn to the wonderful truth of what He has accomplished, and they would be gripped by the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection. They would come to You by faith, embrace You, and experience eternal life, escaping the judgment and entering into life in Your name. We thank You, God, for how You have secured our salvation. And for those of us who believe, Resurrection Sunday is a glorious day. It is an opportunity for us to reflect back and honor You and worship You for what You have done and what we have experienced because of what You have done. Continue to be exalted as we worship through the Lord's table today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, and our men will come and we'll prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.